Is a Christian who abandons the faith still saved? That's what we're going to talk about in today's very interesting episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, today we are continuing in our series of questions and answers. We do this every once in a while. We take some time to answer the pile. I mean, this massive stack of questions that have come in from listeners just like you. And that's kind of a neat idea when you think about it, that you could have your questions answered right here on the air. To do that, you simply send us an email with your question. You can send that email to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean, and I'm here with Dr. Bob Wilkin.
Thank you, Sean.
Hey, how's it going? You doing well?
I'm doing well.
I just came back from Arizona recently. I was in a really beautiful part of Arizona. It was near the Tonto National Forest.
I've never heard of the Tonto.
Yeah, I know. It's a real thing. I was like Lone Ranger. I was thinking, wow, this is Lone Ranger territory. But it was absolutely beautiful. I feel refreshed. I'm excited to do radio. So let's get to some questions.
Okay, here, good, right? Good.
Here's a question from Robert. Is Joshua Harris still saved even though he renounced Christianity? Or more generally, is anyone who becomes apostate really saved, or were they really never truly saved at all? If they're saved, then why? If they're not saved, why not? So Joshua Harris is, I think he was famous. I remember this book when I was a teenager. I Kissed Dating Goodbye is what Joshua Harris is famous for.
Oh, I remember that book, yeah.
And I never read it, but it was very famous.
Right. I don't think I read it, but what is that called? It's not called dating. It's called...
Courting.
Courting.
I think it was probably...
Courtship and courting.
Just do courtship instead of...
And it's almost like arranged marriages. The parents say, we think this would be a good...
I don't know. I really don't know. But in any case...
He's now fallen away from the faith.
He's fallen from the faith.
Okay. Well, I think this is a great question. And we need to distinguish between a sort of formal apostasy, a sort of formal falling away from the faith, and someone who actually has come to faith in Christ, believed in him for everlasting life, for his eternal destiny, and then later turns his back on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In the first place, you could have someone who, let's say, is a Catholic or Orthodox, someone who's in Assembly of God or Church of Christ or whatever. They don't believe in once saved, always saved. They don't believe in justification by faith alone. But they do believe some of the fundamental truths of Scripture. And then they may later fall away.
Right. So this person is maybe a cultural Christian or maybe a nominal Christian. And they definitely believe in works salvation, like a false gospel.
Right. And if they've never believed in the free gift of everlasting life, this person who falls away is an unbeliever who has fallen away from nominal Christianity.
Right.
Okay.
And so basically, they were unsaved to begin with.
Right.
And when they fall away from cultural Christianity, they're still unsaved.
Right.
Nothing's really changed in terms of their status before God.
But on the other hand, if you have someone who has believed in Jesus as their Savior, they know I'm saved, I'm once saved, always saved.
They've believed in him for eternal salvation.
Right. And then they later fall away. Well, that person remains saved. They remain born again. I can give you an example. I have a friend who's a pastor, and one of his sons has completely fallen away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he was younger, he's now in his late 30s. Well, when he was an elementary school student, he was active in Awana. He was very clear in his faith. He knew he was born again. He was baptized, etc. But then he later fell away. Or another example, I taught at Multnomah for a year, and in the school paper, they ran an article by a former student who had gone on for graduate work in philosophy, and he had lost his faith.
Mm-hmm.
The interviewer asked him, well, did you used to believe that Jesus was your Savior? And he said, absolutely. You used to believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Sure. You used to believe you were going to heaven? Absolutely. But you no longer believe any of that? No, all that's a myth.
Well, you know, it might be helpful to kind of understand what the different options are. So, for example, there are people called Arminians, and they would say, you can become born again, and if you stop believing, you become unborn again.
Right.
And if you come back to faith again, then you get born again again.
Right.
You know, so you have eternal salvation, except it's not that eternal because you can lose it. And then so you lose it, and then you get it back again, and you can lose it, and you can get it back again.
Now, before we go on beyond the Arminians, we ought to mention, when they say believing in Jesus, they don't mean believing in Jesus that you're saved once and for all, because they don't believe that's possible.
Right. They're just believing in
Jesus.
They're
just saying believing he died for you, he rose again, he's God, and that he gives you some sort of temporary salvation.
It's some probation.
And you can keep it.
Yeah.
And you can keep it or lose it, and it's up to you.
Yeah. So there's that option.
That's what they would call believing.
If you're in a Methodist church, you probably believe that. If you're in a Church of Christ church, you probably believe that. If you're Pentecostal or charismatic, you'll probably tend to believe that too. You're not really believing in Jesus for eternal salvation. It's more like a salvation that you can kind of hold on to and
you
keep
yourself.
You
hope you can hold on.
You hope you have it by the time you die.
I call that hope so faith.
Hope so.
Hope so Christianity instead of no so.
And I hope I'm not being uncharitable. That's really what this doctrine believes.
Right.
The other option are Calvinists, and they think God has chosen certain people to be saved. And God causes that person not only to be born again, but to be sanctified and to persevere in faith and good works until the very end of your life. That's called monergism. God does all the work. He causes you to be born again, sanctified, and you just keep on going. But the problem is, no Calvinist really knows if they're among one of the elect. Most don't know.
Right.
They know this happens to the elect. They just don't know if they're one of the elect.
Well, because they say saving faith is unknowable in terms of just our belief system, that saving faith is shown by our perseverance.
Right, yeah. You'll know if you have the right type of faith if you persevere in faith and good works until death.
Which, by the way, that's a major mistake to say the right kind of faith, because faith is faith and there aren't different flavors.
Right, and a lot of Christians think there are. We would deny that. There's only one kind of faith, but there's different objects that you can believe in.
Right.
But anyway, so the Calvinist is kind of stuck in this position where he knows that the elect are supposed to persevere until death, and he knows that there are fake Christians who might believe for a time, and then they fall away. And then by falling away, they prove that they were never one of the elect. And so a lot of Calvinists, let's say, would look at Joshua Harris and say, well, I guess he was never born again to begin with, because even though he believed in Jesus, he must have believed with the wrong kind of faith, because the right kind of faith would have meant that he would continue in faith and good works until he dies.
And so, by the way, that's not much different from the Arminian view that you can have everlasting life, lose everlasting life, gain it again, lose it again. It's not that much different.
Right. From the perspective of the believer, it certainly feels like you were a Christian for a while, then you fell away, and then you might become a Christian again, and then you fall away, and you might become a Christian again, even though theoretically you know that the elect never lose their salvation.
Right. But both those systems say if you don't persevere to the end in faith and good works, you're not going to be in the kingdom.
Right. So our view is different. Our view is, once you're saved, you're always saved, but there is no guarantee that you're going to progress to spiritual maturity. There's no guarantee that you're going to persevere in faith until death. But your eternal security doesn't hinge on you doing those things.
Right. Now, what does hinge is your assurance. Mm-hmm. How do I know that I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord? Well, because I believe the promise of John 3:16. I believe John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I believe the promise of life found in the scriptures, and so as long as I believe it, I retain assurance.
Right.
What we would say is you can be assured, not assured, assured, not assured. You can lose your assurance of everlasting life,
right,
but your salvation never changes. It can't diminish.
Right, that's
it
right.
It can't go away. It's steady. You're always saved. But in terms of your assurance, you must continue to believe the promise.
Right. So in terms of Joshua Harris, no, neither of us have read his book. We don't know him, so we're not making any. I have no idea what his case is. Only God knows. But if he has ever believed in Jesus for eternal salvation.
Right.
All it takes is a second of faith. If he's ever believed that, he is eternally secure, even if he doesn't believe right now. Now, that doesn't mean unbelief, apostasy, means you get away scot-free. There are consequences to falling from the faith.
Absolutely. You're judged by God in this life. You experience divine discipline in this life to move you back to faith, if God's going to do that in your life. Or you may be taken home prematurely. And at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be consequences for having fallen away from the faith. So eternal rewards would be influenced.
Right.
But eternal destiny, no, that's set once we believe in Christ.
Right. So, I mean, you can think about the prodigal son. Would you agree the prodigal son is an illustration of what happens to someone who leaves the father's house?
I think so, because he's a son before he goes to the far country. In fact, he even receives an inheritance. And he goes to the far country, squanders his inheritance. That's why he's called the prodigal son. He comes to his senses and realize being a hired hand back at the Ponderosa is better than what's happening here in spiritual Las Vegas. So he goes back to his father,
right.
And his father hugs him and falls on his neck and gives him a ring and a robe and slays the fatted calf for him and everything else. He's lost the inheritance, but he's now back in fellowship with the father. He was a son before he left. He was a son when he returned, and the issue was fellowship.
Right, so what could happen is for people like Joshua Harris, that right now they're like the prodigal son in the far country. And he might be living it up. I mean, some people really live it up and they have earthly, worldly fun for a little while, but that never lasts.
No, that's a good point. And by the way, there's two types of apostasy, moral and doctrinal. What you just described was moral apostasy. It sounds like from the note here that this Joshua Harris experienced doctrinal apostasy.
Right.
You could experience both.
Right.
But if it's a moral apostasy, well, then Luke 15 tells us God is seeking us. You know, the father was looking for the son every day.
So what kind of practical advice would you give to someone? And this isn't just about Joshua Harris. This is
right.
Like the examples you gave. This can happen in any family, any
right.
church. What can we do to reach out to people who have left the faith?
I would say if someone has left the faith, but they're still saying that they're a Christian and they're still saying that they're born again, they simply no longer want anything to do with organized religion. Well, then we can point them to, for example, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But if the person has actually fallen away from the faith, I think the main thing we should do is pray for them, because we're not going to be able to talk them out of total apostasy, a doctrinal apostasy. Now, if they're away from the Lord morally, well, then we should challenge them to repent, because that's not good for them, and they know it.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob. If you have any questions, send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thanks, guys, for that thought-provoking discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Well, you're in luck. Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, it's been a busy week for us here at Grace Evangelical Society. I bet it has been for you as well. So we're looking forward to the weekend, but we're also looking forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.